Well, John very kindly has helped me this afternoon by printing off a poster because my opening gambit, you don't need all to put your hands up, but have you got a favourite Christmas film? Have you been scanning the TV reviews and previews of what's coming out and is the one that you've marked off because you want to watch it and you enjoy it and you might have seen it dozens of times yet you still really enjoy watching it? Well, I'm sure if I asked John to print off the Magna Carta and he would bring it to church and say, there we are, I've done it. Anyway, he printed off this for me. Can you see one of my favourite Christian films? Christmas films. It's got a Christian feel to it in a way, but it's not a Christian film. It's A Wonderful Life. I'm sure you've heard of it. Perhaps you've watched it. Perhaps you've watched it again and again and again. And that's just one of the stills. Right at the end of the film, there's little Juju and Jimmy Stewart and Donna Reed and his family when he's able to say, it really is a wonderful life. If we're a Christian this afternoon, we can reflect on the fact that being a Christian is a wonderful life. And all I'm going to speak about are four aspects of what Paul was telling the Galatians all those years ago, years and years after the Lord Jesus Christ had been born and had died and had risen, had been resurrected. Paul is able to look back and remind the people of Galatia this wonderful, wonderful fact. But when the fullness of the time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who are under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying out, Abba, Father. God sent forth two things. He sent forth his Son, and he sent forth his Holy Spirit, as only God can. We just want to reflect in a few ways on that this afternoon. Now, I'm sure we all want a wonderful life. We were popped down to Booth yesterday morning and we bumped into Simon and his wife. And Simon was telling me at 53 years old, he's been able to retire. Isn't that wonderful? At 53, to be able to retire. And perhaps a wonderful life for us will mean three things. Health, wealth, and happiness. But we know that's not always the reality. It's great to have those things. And for some Christians, as the psalmist says, their lines have fallen in pleasant places. But for some Christians, life is anything but wonderful. And so we need to set in context what we know about the Lord Jesus Christ, what we know about God, against our current experience, and not be so inward looking all the time and looking at other people. I wish I had their wonderful life, because we don't know what goes on behind closed doors, even with those people who can retire early and are financially secure and things like that. The Bible says that is not the sum total of life. We're going to focus on something that's far more important this afternoon. What God has done for us in two different ways. 789 is a wonderful hymn written by Robert Murray McShane. And it sets into context what many Christians are looking forward to. Perhaps they haven't had a wonderful life, but they are looking forward to a wonderful life and a wonderful eternity. And he writes these words, when this passing world is done, when has sunk the radiant sun, when I stand with Christ on high, looking over life's history, looking over my life's history, everything that's happened to me, then, Lord, shall I fully know, not till then, how much I owe. Why is that, Mr. McShane? Chosen not for good in me, wakened up from wrath to flee, hidden in the Saviour's side, by the Spirit sanctified. Teach me, Lord, on earth to show, in the here and now, by my love how much I owe. When I stand before the throne, dressed in beauty not my own, when I see thee as thou art, love thee with unsinning heart, then, Lord, shall I fully know not till then how much I owe. When the praise of heaven I hear, loud as thunders to the ear, loud as many waters' voice, sweet as harp's melodious voice, then, Lord, shall I fully know, not till then, how much I owe. You see, when we put everything in the context of eternity, it's like Billy was saying, I still remember those amazing words of that Nigerian police chief telling her police officers, I can't see you all the time, but there is one who is, and you will be accountable to him in judgment. It puts all our lives in context, doesn't it? And makes this word even more precious, that God, at our greatest point of need, knew what we wanted, knew who to send, sent him, and sent something else marvellous, so that we could live for him and his praise and glory. So I just want to make four very brief points. God's wonderful family, God's wonderful grace, God's wonderful timing, and God's wonderful gift. So a few thoughts on God's wonderful family, on how Paul reflects on it to us. For you are all sons of God through faith in Jesus Christ. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. And here's a wonderful thing about God's family. There is neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male or female. You are all one in Christ Jesus. Have a look around at the different people who are here today. That was amazing. I prayed about those young men that they would come to our carol service. So we had two engineers and one would-be doctor. And even more amazing was, is the would-be doctor spoke fluent Russian and we had Pavel here to speak to him. How amazing is that? In the carol service in Orton in West Lancashire, two men speaking Russian in the back room. That truly is amazing. But you know what? There's coming a time when the whole family of God will speak a common language that will be praise to our Lord Jesus Christ. We'll all be as one. Now perish the thought that people who come into our church feel like outsiders because we're a religious club and we don't mix with people like you. And you get the impression very, very often, sometimes in churches, oh, you're not like us. No, we shouldn't be like that. The Christian family should be open and welcoming. We want you to join, but you can't join on your own terms. You must be saved, forgiven, you must repent and put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. But there's nothing stopping you doing that, because Paul reflects on the amazing mix in the church in Galatia. And he talks about the Jews and the Greeks and the slaves and the free and the men and the women, all one in Jesus Christ. So if we're believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, we don't go down party lines or denominations or this, that and the other. We go down, do you believe on Jesus Christ? And if you do, you can say with your hand on your heart, yes, I do. I'm a member of his family. An age and ethnicity and material wealth and what you've been or what you've done doesn't come into it. Because if you're a Christian, God has brought you into his family, and what a wonderful family to belong to. Well, I hope it is. And I hope we don't have errs and graces. And I hope we don't think that God has favourite Christians because they know more than me or they do more than me. I hope we all stand on the same standpoint and on hallowed ground, on Calvary ground, we've come to know and love the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's the first point. God's wonderful family. And that is so pertinent at Christmas, isn't it? When we look around us, and I know boys and girls who don't know who their mummy or daddy are, and have this terrible extended family, and they don't know who they can and can't trust, and things have gone on in the background, and it's an awful way. And then people make fun of Christians because they've got regular family lives. You're so boring. No, we're not. By the grace of God, we're following the way that God has prescribed for a happy and healthy family, a mother and a father, married for life, God willing, bringing up their children in the fear and the admonition of the Lord. And when some children say, oh, it was so tough and we had so many rules and regulations, they're for our good. And God has rules and regulations. And Paul is reminding us, But at the end of the day, we're all in one wonderful family. And why is that? Because Paul reflects on the wonderful grace of God. He talks about it here. We're all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many as you were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. If you're Christ, you're Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. And the grace of God has brought us to the realization that we were outside of God's family, but now we're in God's family. There's been this great change. We might have been religious. We might have been fondly imagined that we were Christians until we saw. But only for the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, his wonderful, amazing grace, we can be brought in to his family. As the hymn writer says, he makes a wretch his treasure. Absolutely amazing words. And I hope we don't get used to some of the carols we sing and the hymns we sing when we reflect on what God's wonderful grace has done in each of our lives if we are Christians. But what I want to concentrate on a little bit more is God's wonderful timing. Because Paul tells us, and he's amazed by this as well, he wasn't there at the time. He looks back and he's able to say, divinely inspired, when the fullness of the time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. Timing is so important, isn't it? I've been reading a fantastic book. It's all about the heroes of the British motor. Oh, typical of you, Rod. You're reading about the heroes of the British motor. Well, it's been a really interesting book. And there was a chapter yesterday about why Stirling Moss was such a brilliant, brilliant... Who's Stirling Moss? Oh, you are showing your age, aren't you? Probably one of the greatest racing drivers we've ever produced. And his timing was absolutely impeccable. But if you're a football fan, you know the best footballers have immaculate timing. They know when to look up, when to shoot, when the goalie's off his line, etc., etc. I remember speaking, and he's been at Aldi now for 25 years, but the man who used to be the manager at Ormskirk thought he'd absolutely blown it because A, he'd forgotten to wear a tie, and B, he was 10 minutes late for his interview at Aldi. He said, I've not got this job. Well, 25 years later, he manages the Southport show, so he must have been a good potential Aldi manager. But grief, I'm 10 minutes late, and my tie's not on. I've blown it. I wonder if we can remember when we proposed to our wives. I am never, ever, ever allowed to forget the King Cone incident. But anyway, that's another story. But anyway, timing is everything in motor racing, in football, in life, in interviews, in doing work, in all sorts of ways. Well, here we see the best timing of all. A divine jigsaw coming together. As the Lord Jesus Christ is born at the right time, in the right place, in the right circumstances. Now, outwardly, we would say, hold on a minute. He didn't even have a proper place of birth, in that there was no room in the inn. All prophesied. And what about this, about Herod wanting to kill him? All prophesied. What about his flight to Egypt? My way, are you saying this was the right time to be born, when at his very birth, and not too long after, someone wanted to kill. Yes, it was all down to God's immaculate timing, because God never makes a mistake. And if the Lord can do this and break into human history in such a powerful way, at the right time, in the right place, for the right reason, and with the right motives, surely we can't say, oh, I'll allow God to do this or allow God to do that. God breaks into people's lives in the most amazing way, as Billy testifies every Christmas when he remembers his own conversion. So don't limit God to what you think he can and can't do. Paul himself says with this understatement, but when the fullness of the time had come, and reflects on how God broke into human history with his wonderful, perfect timing to fulfill his will. We only have to look back at the prophets, what they said would happen and how it would happen and when it would happen, to see that God always keeps his promises. No one can deter him from doing what he set out to do. But God's wonderful timing is followed by our fourth point and our final point, God's wonderful gift. Not only did he send forth his son, but also Paul uses exactly the same term. Now you are believers, now you are sons and daughters of God. God has sent forth the spirit of his son into your hearts, crying out, Abba, Father. So in a sense, it doesn't matter really all the trappings of Christmas and the things that the world expects. That doesn't really matter to us, because we know that God has sent forth his son, and that rejoices our heart. And we also know that God has sent forth his spirit, and that proves to us inwardly we really are sons of God. It's not something that was being based on emotion or something we said or something we did and we can't keep it up, as Billy reminds us very often. God, if you're a Christian today, has given you his very spirit. Paul tells the Galatians, walk in the spirit. Prove that you've got the spirit by doing certain things. But again, a great gift. We can't work it up in ourselves. It's a great gift from God. Two things that God sent forth, his son and his spirit, crying out, Abba, Father. Paul says, therefore, you're no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. Well, there is a final point, isn't there? I wanted to make a reference to hymn 199. When the Lord Jesus Christ came at the right time, the hymn writer Charles Wesley says this, come now long expected Jesus, born to set thy people free. From our sins and fears release us, let us find our rest in thee. Israel's strength and consolation, hope of all thy saints thou art, dear desire of every nation, joy of every longing heart. Born thy people to deliver, born a child and yet a king, born to reign in us forever, now thy gracious kingdoms bring. By thine own eternal spirit, rule in all our hearts alone, by thine all-sufficient merit, raise us to thy glorious throne. Well, there is one more thing to think about God's timing, because as Christians we're looking forward to when the Lord Jesus Christ comes again. He is coming again. We don't know when, but if the Lord sent him the first time and sent his spirit to vindicate and verify who he was by the things that Jesus did, the parables he told, the miracles he did, and then sent his spirit to his own children today so that we know that we are Christians, we know our sins have been forgiven, we know that we have a home in heaven, we're looking forward to that when Jesus Christ will come again. Let me quote from, we're going to sing this in a minute, but reading hymns is just as good as singing hymns, because we can sit down and go through it and think seriously about what we're reading. 193, verses 5 and 6. Cecil Alexander writes, and our eyes at last shall see him through his own redeeming love. For that child so dear and gentle is our Lord in heaven above, and he leads his children on, those children with God's spirit within them, to the place where he is gone. Not in that poor lowly stable, with the oxen standing by, we shall see him, but in heaven, set at God's right hand on high, when like stars his children crowned, all in white shall wait around. What a blessed prospect for every single Christian. Yes, some of us are big children, and we get all excited about Christmas, and what are we going to get, and this, that, and the other. I'm getting a pair of slippers, I know that, because we chose them yesterday. Can you get excited over a pair of Marxie slippers? But anyway, I might get some surprises. But far more surprising and thrilling to every believer isn't what we're getting for Christmas, but the greatest present of all, that place in heaven won by the divine grace of God and expected by us, because the Spirit is that great deposit of our eternal life, which is our glorious prospect. So God's wonderful family, God's wonderful grace, God's wonderful timing, God's wonderful gift, and finally, what a wonderful prospect we have to look forward to.